Welcome back to 32 Fans. I'm Alex Chester. With me, as always, is Wheels Wienerker. Wheels, I made a mistake. I meant to say welcome back to 32 Fans in 32 days because we are 32 days away.
Yeah, sometimes you say that when it's not 32
yeah,
days.
Yeah, well, usually I do, and then I have to edit it out.
Correct. You edit that out? Just leave it in. What? You do you think people think you're infallible and you can't make mistakes?
Yeah. Well, among mistakes I've made, I don't have my...
You think this is 32 movies? We don't edit on this show.
I don't have a microphone today, so I apologize in advance for the poor audio.
Oh, they noticed. Yeah. They noticed.
Well, it's poor audio when we're discussing a poor team, so...
Poor audio and, like, a... poor
So, we're 32 days away from the Sunday of week one right now.
Yeah.
Hopefully this is a relatively clean episode so I can post it today. We have recorded multiple episodes since the last time we posted an episode. We recorded a late night podcast that has not seen the light of day. And then I came to visit you in Long Island.
Yeah, well, yeah, you were like tangentially involved in the late night podcast. That wasn't a 32 Fans production.
Well, I think it was, well, I thought it was supposed to be at first. I actually bailed a few minutes into it because I was tired and bored.
You were tired. You were
which
cranky.
Is how I feel now. Like, so we recorded a podcast last week. I came to Long Island to visit you. We won't say more because we don't want to spoil it. If we ever do edit it, it was like hours and hours.
And this is different. This is different from the sleepover podcast has not been recorded for content reasons. This podcast has fully not been recorded for technical reasons.
Not been posted. You mean
right? Not been posted.
Just because I started editing it and I got like 2 hours in and I had like 45 minutes of playable podcast and I still have like hours to go and I'm just, you know, I've been very busy at work the last couple of weeks and I've just, I don't know.
You've been a little overwhelmed, it sounds like, at work.
Yeah, so I haven't been so motivated. And you've been pushing me. You're like, listen, we got to get started on 32 Fans in 32 days. And I said to you, I don't want to talk to any guests. I'm sick of editing podcasts. And so you did all the work. So we're here today to discuss the 32nd ranked team. I didn't even make rankings, so it's just your rankings, right?
Well, it's not just my rankings. I had about 8 listeners submit rankings. I think it was only maybe 6. And I averaged my rankings with their rankings. You don't like the word cume.
Well, when you type it, it just looks very dirty.
Yeah, so the rankings for... I think we shouldn't say the team name in the episode name. What do you think about that? Well, like, people if it's not in the title, don't know who we're going to talk about yet. Isn't there suspense?
But we are going to say the ranking?
It'll just say Team 32, because we're going to go... I'm sure, have not read one chat I've WhatsApped you in the last 3 weeks.
We're going from 32 to 1. So we're discussing the worst team in the power rankings right now. Okay.
And correct. What if
what if we don't say who it is the whole podcast? We just talk about them in the abstract.
Oh, that's possible. Yeah. We haven't gotten to it yet, and I'm sure we got more.
The problem with this team's quarterback is that they have 2 quarterbacks, and neither one's very good. The problem with this team's coach is that he has no experience. Should we just speak totally like that without any proper nouns?
Yes, we could be very generic, and it would cut it down to only 3 or 4 teams.
Yeah.
What if we were trolls and the Patriots were the worst team in the league?
Yeah, I mean, they could be. I've paid so little. Like I told you, I'm less excited.
Why are you so out on football? Is it because you're busy at work? What is giving you excitement? Because sports is like, all right, fine. It's like it's a pretend life away from your real life. That's much more fun than anyone's real life. What is exciting to you that you can't focus on sports? Or is it sometimes you just get so busy or people get depressed or people have life issues, whatever, like... What is it to you that you can't be excited about the best thing in the whole world, which is the beginning of the NFL
season? So you actually mentioned to me, and I think there's some validity here, you said, is it because the Twins are doing well? And I think that's part of it. Like, I have been so focused. I watch the Twins almost every single night.
I refer a team that is much more exciting than the Twins. They even went to Minnesota and swept their summer.
Yeah, and since then they've lost, what,
and
one game,
I think.
I
still focus on both. Yeah. Yeah, we're the magic elixir for the New York Mets. We went there rooting against the Mets. I was like, I literally told people, like, I just want a good draft. Yeah. I mean, they were 700 games.
And they're like 13-1 since then, right?
Yeah, they're 3 games over 500.
Yeah. So I think part of it is the fact that I've been focused on the Twins every day. Also, we had in June at least.
I realized why the Twins are good, by the way, with the Mets playing all these garbage teams the last few weeks for their win streak. Because the Twins get to play the worst teams in baseball history every night.
Okay, so actually...
Of course you're going
to
hit 6 home
so
runs.
So starting from August 1st to the end of the year, the Twins have the easiest remaining schedule in all of baseball.
Oh,
and
boy.
The reason is because they actually had the hardest schedule in
Oh, they only played 12 games against the Tigers so far.
No, so in
only got the Royals five times.
No, so they didn't play the Tigers and Royals at all in June and July, which is why they were only like a couple games above 500 then. Now they get those teams a lot. And the Indians, who had the easiest schedule in all of baseball in June and July, which is why the Indians won like 80% of their games, now they have, I think, the hardest schedule. So, so you're right. Like having the Tigers and the Royals in your division is very beneficial. And which is why I think the Twins are in a pretty good position, even if, you know, they're starting tonight a massively important four-game series against the Indians. They're up two games on the Indians right now.
You're going to get your heart broken so badly.
Yeah, but I don't...
This year is just going to be a hard
But again, the Indians come in and win 3 out of 4 and come out of the series tied, the Twins are still like six.
Oh, I'm talking about October, not August. I'm talking about
the Twins are going to lose to the Yankees in the playoffs. I know that. That happens every year. Like
The Yankees' like worst hitter would be the best player in the history of your franchise.
Yeah.
Every single guy in the Yankees somehow has a 1400 OPS.
Well, only against the Twins, but yeah. So...
Well, 14,000 against the Orioles.
Well, yeah, that's true. The Orioles, by the way, the Orioles and the Blue Jays are as bad, if not worse, than the Royals. Now, the Twins obviously benefited for a decade. They made the playoffs every year in the aughts because their division was garbage, mm-hmm. and everyone in the AL East was good at some point. So, but the AL East, the bottom of that division is quite poor also. But anyway, so yeah. So
well, the Tigers are bad, which isn't that frequent. They are so bad.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Ron.
Like, bad Tigers.
You don't hire Ron Gottenheuer as your manager because you want to win. So. You hire him because you don't want to like saddle the coach that you actually care about in the future with all those L's on his record. So,
do you realize Pete Alonso is going to break the Major League rookie home run record?
I hope he does.
Or National League, rookie home run record.
I hope
record,
he does. I'm happy for you.
In like 3 days.
Yeah, I'm happy for you. Do you realize the Twins are going to break the all-time single season home run record before this month is even over? And there's a whole month to go after
that's
that?
That's crazy. And then it'll be broken 6 more times by the Yankees and other teams. Do you and also you know what the Mets off the top of your head? Do you know what the Mets single season home run record is for a team?
I will say
not, like individual
for a player.
Yeah, for a player. Sorry.
I know that what's the catcher? The non Piazza catcher who had 40 one year randomly in like '96.
Todd Hundley at 41. Not so randomly. He was an all star for a long.
Well, time. I assume that he was on a lot of steroids because did he ever hit 25 in a season other than that?
Hundley? No, he was.
Yeah.
You don't remember when they traded for Piazza and they tried him in the outfield.
Yeah.
And it was just an insane disaster.
So I would guess. So
he was Bichette-esque.
So outfield. He had 41. Has anyone had more than 41 for the Mets? Strawberry, yeah. He had like 37, 38 a lot. Did he ever get above 40? I don't know.
Yeah, I think he's 39, okay. I think. Or yeah. If Beltran and Hundley have the record of 41. Okay. Again, this team has been around for 60 years almost, and 41. So Alonso is... Has 3 in a row. He's at 37.
Between 1987 and 2006, over that 20-year period, mm-hmm. baseball had the highest binge mm-hmm. of offense in general and home runs in particular in history. Guys like Sammy Sosa hit 60 mm-hmm. a year every year. During that 20-year span, the Minnesota Twins did not have a single player hit 30.
Ron Coomer.
Did not have a single player hit 30 in a season.
Yeah.
So don't tell me about
Ron Coomer,
power
baby.
Droughts. But now we're making up for it, and now every player on the Twins has 30 home runs this year. So...
It is funny because in fantasy baseball, and I know this is a football podcast, fantasy baseball, every night I'm like, ooh, 5 home runs. It's like 2 from Alonso, 1 from Conforto, 1 from McNeil, and that's just the Mets. Like, you literally get 5 or 6 a night, and you don't even move up in the standings in fantasy because every single guy has like 7 home runs a night now.
Nelson Cruz has 20 home runs like this week, so it's absurd.
Anyway.
So I'm glad that we're already. Like so you said
swing.
You wanted.
Yeah, one of the best parts about seeing the game in person, Nelson Cruz, my favorite swing in baseball. I was a big Vladdy swing guy, but Nelson Cruz, what a swing.
Yeah, he's got a nice one.
Anyway.
Boomstick. So you said you want each episode to be exactly 32 minutes, so I'm glad we've already wasted
32 minutes.
So we've wasted 9 minutes of the worst team in the league talking about baseball. So that's good.
Yes. But you have done 0 seconds of research for this episode and the next one I think we're going to record right after this. Is that correct?
Yeah. So let's go back to why I'm not excited about football. So part of it, I think, is I've been very into baseball. Part of it is, you know, let's be honest, in not so much now, but in June and early July, we had the most lit NBA offseason we've ever had. So there was a lot of sports going on in football.
It had no effect on your team, by the way, just the general sports.
Yeah, well, there was a chance for D'Angelo Russell to come to Minnesota, and now they're talking about Chris Paul coming to Minnesota.
Oh, that would have changed the shape of the NBA.
Well, it changed the shape of my team. So that's part of it. And then also, as a Viking, like, coming into this Viking season, so, you know, 2 years ago, obviously, you know, we blow the NFC Championship game. We come into last season, we get the marquee free agent, and we come into last season as one of the top favorites in the league. and, you know, completely collapse in week 17 against a Bears team that isn't even trying. In fact, they were trying to lose. And now I've looked at this team and I realize, like, the Vikings are locked into, like, between 7-9 and 10-6 best case scenario for the next, like, 2 years, basically. They have no, they're not going to bottom out, but they also have no chance of being, like, you know, a home field advantage kind of team. So it's like,
We'll talk about spoiler, the Vikings are not 32 or 31, yeah. But
they're gonna be like 12 or something.
The top of the NFC is a lot of B pluses.
Yeah, but there's B.
You never know.
There's B pluses
there.
With anyway. An avenue to get to an A, and the Vikings don't have that avenue because their offensive line is such a massive hole. So I have zero excitement for that team, like literally none. Kirk Cousins is just such a milquetoast guy. He's hard to get excited about.
I mean, if they go up 7-0 in week one, you'll be all in on the Vikings.
I'm telling
you. Plus, like, you care about fantasy so much, you're not going to dive into everything for fantasy?
I don't care about fantasy. I care about my own charts. I don't care about these leagues I have to be in with 11 idiots who don't know how to follow basic rules.
All you do is email me begging me to join your stupid fantasy league. Your salary cap.
First of all, I don't even want you in our league. There's one member of our league.
You literally have been begging me all day. This is not true.
I've been begging you on behalf of AB because AB wants you in.
No, you want me in this league more than anything. You're trying to.
You want me in this league. You need me in this league. Right, who are you going to put there, Lieutenant Goldberg? Yeah, don't need any more. Need any more Jews in our league. All right, so let's talk about the 32nd ranked. Can we say the name of the team? Can we sing the song?
Miami Dolphins,
number 32.
Miami Dolphins, number one.
Number 32.
Yeah, number 32. Yeah. So my kids know that song because my wife is a troll who taught it to them when she was mad at me. So they wouldn't root for the Jets. They do root for the Jets. They don't like the Mets.
Yeah. All right, so we have to talk about the Dolphins. But who's our guest?
Yeah, so
I'm not scheduling anybody. You're scheduling all 32 guests. Yeah. So who did you get us for the Dolphins?
Yeah. No, we're not having any guests. We may have one or two along the way.
Oh, wow, that's amazing. I hate
because
guests.
It's booking guests sucks. It took us 90 minutes to start this podcast, just me and you. We had tech issues. There's no way it would have been very rude to have someone like take the afternoon off to have this podcast and then basically totally. Last year, you didn't show up to most of the episodes and then I didn't show up to a few. We were almost never together. It was just one of us talking to a guest, which was fine.
Yeah, better that way.
One-on-one conversation, sometimes better than the two-on-one interview. Yeah. You refuse to even answer basic questions about how we should do the podcast. If I'm best, you say I don't care. Yeah. You refuse to. You ask me not to CC you on a single email. This is like a marriage in which we're never both in the mood. Like sometimes you'll be like super in the mood. And I'm like, I'm not into that, but I'll do it anyway because I'm a good spouse. And then sometimes I'll say, what about this? And you're like, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. Sorry. You could do that if you want. I'm not going to be on that.
Now, the irony is, I spent all week actually focused on the city of Miami, but not the Dolphins. In fact, I had a call with the mayor of Miami today. So I've been very focused on Miami.
It's such a brag, but
no, it's not a brag. Nobody, like, there's zero people who care about that. So,
Well, why'd you say it?
Because it's just funny that we're talking about the Dolphins.
And bleep out mayor of Miami.
I've been talking about Miami all day long and all weekend. So that's why it's just sort of ironic that we're starting there.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, but I have done a lot of research. We don't have our guests on, but I've been emailing our guests, like our normal, like Dolphins
stealing
expert
their nuggets.
Or whoever Team 31 is. I've emailed.
Okay.
And yeah, I said, give me some nuggets. I literally asked them questions and had them answer in sentence all form. Right. I bought a bunch of books and Football Outsiders and Pro Football Focus.
What do you mean books?
I've done a ton of research.
What book is there that one could possibly acquire that would lend any information to the 2019 season?
Warren Sharp, Football Outsiders. Football Outsiders.
When you say
they're physical books that I have in my hand.
I mean, it's a magazine, really, but
that's a book. They're both
books. Hardcover.
Football Outsiders is like 600 pages, like Baseball Prospectus. Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
I like Warren Sharp.
It's a book, and also we don't.
By the way, Duke Johnson was traded today. Warren Sharp is all into that trade.
Well, dude, I saw the trade. I'm like, okay, that's a good trade, sixth round pick, and then I saw it's a fourth. It could be a third. That's a little too high.
Yeah.
Because they would have cut him anyway. Yeah. Once the quarterback insults Duke Johnson, once Baker Mayfield basically says, oh, he doesn't want to be here, there's no coming back from that. He was getting traded or cut.
Yeah.
So he's a good player, but that's a little high for a guy who he probably could have got.
Yeah, but Baker Mayfield, the Bryce Harper
you had to
the
offer
NFL,
forward,
by the way.
It's possible. Yeah, a little bit, except, I think he's good. But we'll talk about the Browns not today, not tomorrow.
Okay.
All right, so the Dolphins, I think I could name like all 22 starters for every team that we've seen recently so far. I think we should do a test. We should do a test beforehand. Not right now because like the depth charts are sort of in flux still. You should ask me like just random team starters, you know, when we get up to like the fifth to last team when I've done research for every team.
All right, now I have done absolutely zero research.
Because I have nothing else going on in my
life. I've done zero research for the Dolphins. Yeah. How many starters of theirs could I name? Could I name 10? No, definitely not. Could I name 5?
Oh, so let's do that. How many? Let's. This is a good game. This is a good. This is a roster game, but for starters, because we're not going to do the roster game so much this year. AB, I know, loves the roster game. A lot of listeners die for the roster game. Yeah. They love it. How many starters can you name for the Miami Dolphins without getting one wrong?
All right.
I'll give you 3 X's family.
So at quarterback, I mean, is it? I assume it's Fitzpatrick for now.
You just name players. You know, it doesn't even have to be starters.
So Fitzpatrick and Josh Rosen at quarterback. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And running back, they have Kenyon Drake, and they have Kalen Ballage, who is a great name.
Yeah.
And you can tell I've done a little bit of fantasy research. So at wide receiver, they have the same wide receiver they've had for the last, like, decade, which means Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker. Right?
Yeah, minus Amendola. They don't have anymore.
Well, Amendola was on the Patriots. But and then who else? Let's see. Their offensive line.
No,
do I know anybody on their offensive line? Do they have Laremy Tunsil?
Well, you missed Albert Wilson. You missed Albert Wilson, and I guess Jakeem Grant also. At
I don't care who their number four receivers is. Laremy Tunsil on this team?
No, Albert Wilson's
smoking
good.
Weed out of a gas mask.
Yeah, Laremy Tunsil's like the best player on the whole team.
All right,
he's the best player on the whole team. Second best player.
So how many have I named, including the backups? I've named what, 7 guys?
Guys. You haven't gotten a single guy on defense.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking off. Okay.
You will not get a guy in the front seven.
Okay, so let's get to the defense.
You will not get a guy in the front seven.
So they have Kiko Alonso, the hero of the Cuban American community there.
Yeah, he's bad now.
And am I going to get to 10? I don't think
Their best players are in the secondary, other than
secondary. Mika Fitzpatrick, is he on their team, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And, I mean, if he's one of their best players, there's a reason this team is ranked number 32.
It's weird because it's not a normal 32 team. This team could easily go 6-10, 7-9. This isn't a lock. There very rarely is a team. Maybe the Browns 2 years ago. It's like, oh, there's no way this team could win more than a couple games. This team can't make the playoffs. But like, remember, Fitzpatrick started last year with 300-400 yard games. Fitzpatrick, like we think of as a backup, he's been a starter. I think this is going to be the 7th time in 9 years he's starting.
Hold on a second. Fitzpatrick started with 400-yard games last year because Tampa Bay's offense was loaded. They had 2 Pro Bowl tight ends. They had 3 Pro Bowl wide receivers. Now he's throwing to Kenny Stills and Devontae Parker.
I'm not saying
the Dolphins over under?
Fitzpatrick is the best player
in the
NFL.
What's the Dolphins over under? 6? 5.5? Something like that?
I think it's 5.5 or 6. Yeah. That could be your job, by the way, just looking up teams over unders, because I didn't have that. So the Dolphins, let's rewind a little bit to last year. The Dolphins go 7-9. I sorted out 10-point wins and losses for every team. Okay. Do you want to guess how many double digit wins out of the 7? Very solid 7-9 record.
I'm gonna say zero.
Zero. They had more wins on Hail Mary ludicrous laterals than they did by more than 8
points.
They
had more wins in which the last defensive player to touch the offensive player was Rob Gronkowski, I think.
Yeah.
Although he actually didn't even touch the guy. He whiffed on that play, didn't he?
No, he whiffed. And how many of their 9 losses were by double digits?
I'm going to say 6. I remember they got destroyed by Houston on a night game.
Yes. 8. All but 1 of their losses were. So this is, we're talking maybe the worst 7-9 team ever. And they were unbelievably bad. Now, you know, so they upgraded from Tannehill.
Wait, they upgraded?
Fitz
and
Rosen.
That's not an upgrade.
No, Tannehill was really bad. Tannehill's, like, never came back from the injury,
I mean, if they get out of Fitzpatrick and Rosen what they got out of Tannehill last year, that would be, other than the health, but if at the performance level, that would be a win.
Yeah. So Adam Gase, by the way, you have to check the 32 minutes. And when we're over here with 32 minutes, the podcast is over, even if we're not like in the middle of a sentence. Okay.
All right. Can we talk about baseball
some
more?
So Adam Gase, Adam Gase to Brian Flores. Now we talked a little bit last year. This is one of my pet peeves: coaches that have only been a coordinator for 1 year becoming head coaches has a very, 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 very poor success record. Well, Brian Flores technically has spent, you know how many years as an offensive, as a defensive coordinator?
Was it less than one season?
How many years?
It was
zero because it was technically one full season, but they didn't name him the DC after Patricia left. I'm sure for, you know, contract reasons or something. So he's technically never even been a coordinator, and he's the head coach. He's 38. He's from Brooklyn. I will say, coaches from the Patriots regime, it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. The Patricia might be the worst of the whole bunch, you know?
Yeah.
So this is a Patricia Belichick.
At least Blythe Flores doesn't have any allegations, so I'd be like nervous. 20-year-old allegations of sexual assault, though. So.
No, boy.
Yeah.
People like the GM. Chris Greer, I think the early reports have been positive. I spoke to our long-term Dolphins guest, Mike Woodburn. And he's much higher on the GM, Chris Greer, than he is on
now,
the
this team's
Brian
goal
Flores.
Is to get the number one pick next year in the draft, right?
I don't see. That's the thing. I don't think they're really trying to tank. And it's also silly because, like, players never try and tank. Because why do you want to lose and have someone take your job, right? So why would why would Fitzpatrick or Rosen say, oh, if we get the first pick, that's, like, really the only way we'd for sure be out of here next year?
Well, obviously the players and coaches
because coaches get fired after 1 year.
Talk about the front office in the team they put together.
So it's very hard. I mean, you could shut a guy down in the NBA. It's very hard in football to lose on purpose. Once you cannot get good players, which they did, but they didn't. You know, you could have gotten a fifth round pick for Devontae Parker, right? They didn't do that. They could have added. You know,
there
they
is
have a
no
bunch of picks,
world in which Devontae Parker could get you a fifth round pick.
Duke Johnson just got a fourth round.
Duke Johnson again.
I think your thing fantasy. No. Like Devontae Parker is not as bad as you think. Albert Wilson's not that.
Look
bad.
You
could have gotten fifth or sixth round picks for every.
No. Look at Warren Sharp's numbers.
Trade freaking Kenyon Drake. Kenyon Drake will get you a draft pick. He's actually good.
Look at Warren Sharp's numbers for Duke Johnson. Okay, there's a reason that he likes that trade. Devontae Parker has been like a fantasy sleeper for like 4 years in a row and has never had even 50, 60 catches in a season. I don't know what he's done, but he's been a massive disappointment everywhere he's gone.
Mm-hmm.
He had 24 catches last year.
Yeah. So I asked. I think one touchdown, if I'm not mistaken.
He has never had 60 catches in a season. He has never had 800 yards in a season, and he has 9 total touchdowns in his entire career. He's now 27 years old.
I'm sort of higher on Albert Wilson.
Yeah. None of these guys are getting you any value. I'm sorry.
Okay. I mean, listen, there's a reason this team is 32. Yeah. I'm not making a – they have no players in the Pro Football Focus top 100, so they really have no, to quote Mike Lombardi, blue-chip players, right? Tunsil, you could make an argument for. Pro Football Focus also has a really stupid thing where they penalize penalties way too much. So Xavier Howard is really, definitely a top 100 player, maybe much higher than that. But he gets a lot of penalties, so they hate on him for that.
Who did you just mention?
They really
Xavier Howard?
Yeah.
Never heard of him.
He's their best player.
You said Laramie Tunsil was their best player.
I said on offense. Yeah, Tunsil is probably their second best
Xavier
player.
Oh, Xavier Howard is that guy from Baylor from last year. Okay, I see. Yeah, okay. A couple years ago.
Okay, so I said, I asked Slaner, I asked our Dolphins guest, do you think that 32nd is too low or too high, whatever
you're doing. It can't be too low.
And he did not think so. High, low, I don't know. Well, I don't mean should they be 33. Yeah. I just don't know if it's, you know.
Yeah. We've had bad luck with the 33rd fan on this podcast.
Okay.
I'm going to try to mention that every
episode.
What's
the best case?
You hate it so much.
Oh, jeez. What's the best case scenario for the Dolphins this year? And he says, Rosen really turns around, becomes a no-question franchise QB. None of that. Tannehill looks like he could become one next year. Let's wait and see. A legit eye-popping franchise QB. Spoiler, that will not happen. Not to speak ill of a fellow Yid 3 days before Tishbev. Yeah. The inverse of that is the worst case scenario would be that he shows just enough for the coaching staff to not take QB in the first round next year and tries to build around him, and he ends up just being another middling QB. That, I think, is a very good take, which is if Rosen shows some flashes and they get afraid to. Although I think, in general, teams have been smart enough not to do that. In fact, with the very same player last year, the Cardinals were smart enough not to do that, right? A lot of teams would have been hesitant to bail on their top pick after 1 year, and the Cardinals were ballsy enough to do that with Josh Rosen in order to get Kyler Murray.
Because they could get Kyler Murray, right? If they were picking 10th.
Yeah, and because he was so bad. But that's the point. You're not going to bail on your quarterback for the 8th pick, but you will often bail on your quarterback for
now,
the
1st. Now, let me ask
pick.
A question. When we get to the 32-minute mark, and we're not there yet, are we going to like have some kind of horn or buzzer or what?
Yeah, there's whatever you want. You put in a horn or buzzer, but you have to give me a 5-minute warning when we're near the 32-minute mark.
Why? So you can drop all your great takes?
We have more than 32 minutes of content for all these episodes.
All right.
So.
Well, so far you haven't told me a single... Let me ask you a question. What reason do I have as an uninterested viewer to watch, to tune into a Miami Dolphins game? It's not to watch Xavier Howard cover some other team's receiver. So,
I mean, the answer is you have Kenyon Drake in fantasy, basically. That's the only answer.
So if you draft Kenyon Drake, because
they don't have a fantasy caliber tight end,
you spend $30.
They don't have a fantasy draftable receiver right now.
All right.
Now Kenyon Drake, the advanced metrics loved him. He was getting hit before the line and getting like 4-something yards per carry. Their line was so bad last year. Pro Football Focus and other sites have them as the worst offensive line in the league. I will say I'm a little bit higher on them. Starting with Tunsil, who I think becomes a star. That Michael Dieter is the guard, left guard. They drafted him out of the third round in Wisconsin. Third round pick for this team means you're an automatic locked-in starter. Their center, Kilgore, got injured after a couple games last year. Was actually kind of decent until he got injured. Jordan Mills, if you remember from the Panthers, is the right tackle. He's sort of like a meh, you know, like a classically below average but not replacement level player.
Yeah, I mean, that's the case with most right
but
tackles.
But again, like we're talking not an ideal offensive line. If you're talking pass rush, well, Cameron Wake, who we haven't mentioned yet, is gone. He's on Tennessee.
Yeah.
Robert Quinn is gone. Yeah. Robert Quinn is gone. They traded him for not so much.
They're still paying Ndamukong Suh.
So,
I think, right.
This team, which is generally a good pass rushing team, has had 31 sacks last year and is going to have less than that probably this year.
So who's going to
now?
Who,
maybe
who's going to lead the team in
defensive
sacks?
Genius. I mean, their leading returning sacker, I believe, is three. Is someone with three. Off the top,
that's
of my
not mind. Ideal. Yeah, I'm looking at their defensive line. I've never heard of these guys: Devon Godshu, Tank Carradine, Charles Harris, Nate. Okay. I mean, like Dwayne Hendricks, Adolphus Washington. They got some good names, at least. Joey Mabu.
Yeah, they do have good names.
That's really funny, by the way. Joey Mabu. His last name is MBU. Because the deal.
It should be MBU then.
Probably. No, because I'm just working on a deal for Miami Beckham United, which is MBU. So that's why it's funny. All right.
Yeah, but I think it's probably pronounced Ebu. Yeah, Harris, you mentioned, is the guy that they're maybe a little bit optimistic could come through this year. Their linebackers are returning from last year when they were atrocious. Kiko Alonso, Raekwon McMillan, Jerome Baker, all bad.
Yeah.
So that's not a great situation. And Alonso, if he was ever good, is now getting close to 30.
Yeah.
Really nothing exciting. The defense with Minkah Fitzpatrick and Jones and the aforementioned Howard and McCain, they have bodies at least. Their first round draft pick was Christian Wilkins, who's a defensive tackle from Clemson. They picked 13th overall. People really like him. He's got a master's degree. I don't know if he's like a star type player, but that might end up being the best player in their front seven. Again, there's very little here. There's a reason why this team is last. I mean, they have all their draft picks and extra draft picks for next year. So I think the play here is to – that's why Fitzpatrick is the worst guy if you're trying to get the first pick, because he'll have a few weeks where he's good and that's you, and he'll get you to 6-10, right?
I mean, maybe. He did that last year for Tampa. He did that 1 year for your Jets. But he's also had a lot of seasons where, you know, he's just been garbage. So
the Josh McCown, and he's retired. The McCown type is the guy who can get you to like, always just lose every game. Get you to.
I mean, you're remembering Fitzpatrick. I don't you're think remembering Fitzpatrick on the Jets in 2015. You're not remembering Fitzpatrick on the Jets in 2016.
No, he was really bad, but they had the team had nothing. They weren't able to block for him.
As opposed to this team.
Also.
Yeah. I mean, you got to.
By the way, random guy, random.
Yeah.
We have a segment this year called Random Coach that Blast from the Past Coach. We're still working on the name. Jim Caldwell is like his sort of chief offensive advisor here, for the young coach. Hmm. So we get some Caldwell shots on the sideline. Yeah.
Now Jim Caldwell has fired, done very unlikely. Well offensively when Peyton Manning is his quarterback. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, Peyton Manning might be able to make this team this year. I don't know. He should come back.
All right. We're at the 3-minute warning. Is there anything else you want to say?
We should also mention the owner is in. The owner is in deep hot water, sort of viewed as one of the more liberal owners in the league, but you have once before and very correctly said that every billionaire only cares about their own monies and they do not care about Republicans or Democrats and they go where the money follows.
You can say whatever you want. I'm just not going to say anything.
Okay, well, then it's not going to be 32 minutes.
All right, so we'll go to like 33 minutes. So just to let the listeners know, I just said some things I can't say about it. But Kiva, you can say whatever you want to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's a nice brag. I'm just going to say that. Like, I was going to comment on the Democratic primary race, but I'm so connected to all of them. I'm so close with all 20 candidates.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going out to lunch with Marion Wilson tomorrow, so I can't really do that.
Would you want to go to lunch with Marion Wilson?
So what is – I mean, probably not. I don't want to go to lunch with anybody.
Yeah.
If they want to come here, stay in my house, I guess, that would be more interesting. I Can I tell you something I've realized? I like eating alone.
Yeah.
I do like going out to a meal with people and talking, but then the center point, the, like the centerpiece of the meal to me is like the talking, and I'll focus less on the food. But if it's just like a regular meal, I much rather go home and like watch Netflix or watch a show that I need to catch up on and eat by myself.
Yeah. Well, doesn't
weird. I have a couple family members who recently mentioned that they like eating, they don't like watching people eat, and they don't like eating.
Well, Jerry Seinfeld does a whole stand-up bit about that, right? Like, why is the first date at a meal
yeah.
where you see everybody's terrible eating habits? And, yeah.
Well, it's not anymore. I think that's a dated date.
People
right?
aren't eating on dates anymore.
Because people know not to spend money. not a date one. You never spend money on date one. That's like day three. Wait, you want to do a free thing or a bar where you get like one drink.
A cheapskate.
Nobody goes to date. Yeah. So the answer to the sack question, which I never got to before, is probably Charles Harris,
okay.
who was a first round pick who did nothing in his second year. But again, we're talking about not big time names. Maybe the worst pass rusher in the NFL. I think they were 31st in Pro Football Focus. So what are teams building around the NFL nowadays, Chester? Quarterback, offensive line in particular, left tackle,
an edge rusher,
pass rusher.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have nothing. They have no quarterback. They have an okay left tackle, but no overall offensive line. They have the worst edge rush situation in the league, and they do have a good secondary. So 1 out of 4.
Okay.
And then if you want to add a fifth thing, it would be receivers, which, again, they have very little of. And the next team we're going to talk about also doesn't have great receivers, but at least they have a tight end to sort of mask the ugliness.
Well, why are you spoiling what we're talking about tomorrow? Let people be on there.
I mean, it could be the freaking – we could be talking about the 1995 Kansas City Chiefs. Who knows what team?
Who was the tight end on the Chiefs in 1995?
I don't know. Probably Tony Gonzalez's dad, Tony Gonzalez Sr.
Yeah, I was going to say. Tony Gonzalez played a long time.
It was Jay Novacek. We're talking about the 1993 Dallas Cowboys tomorrow.
Okay. All right. It's been 32 minutes, so goodbye.
Bye.